Okay, so I'm here with John Yarbrough, partner of Constancy Brooks Smith and Prophet. And John is here to talk about how he supports startup businesses related to hiring. John's expertise is employment law. And so I have a few questions for you, John, if you're open to me asking them.
I am open.
All right, great. Well, thank you. Can you tell me a little bit about how you began your career and how did you end up focusing on employment law as a practice?
Sure, yeah. In law school, I started out working for a criminal attorney, and I spent my summer trying to keep out of jail or suppress, I guess, rather the search evidence of a fellow who had been shipping drugs through the mail. Trying to argue that it was an illegal search and seizure, and then trying to locate alibi witnesses who turned out to be dead in a cornfield in Indiana. And so having spent a summer working with criminal law, I decided no way I wanted to be a criminal lawyer. I would much rather figure out a way to keep the guy in jail for a long, long time than keep him out. I mean, he was a guy that the SWAT team had to come once because he was holding his mother hostage.
Wow.
That tells you a little bit about him. So in law school, I wound up working for General Electric at Appliance Park in their in-house legal department as a law clerk. And probably 80% of my work wound up being employment law and 20% being environmental / general business. And I just loved the employment law. So from basically my second year of law school on, I figured out I wanted to be an employment lawyer. And that's what I've been doing for the last 23, 24 years.
Excellent. And I already actually know the answer to this question, but so you have represented startups, and also you mentioned that you do volunteer and support and mentor folks that are looking to start up businesses. So can you talk a little bit more about challenges related to starting up a business, some of the hiring challenges, the things that people face?
Well, the biggest thing that I've run into with startups is they don't give a whole lot of thought to employees in the first place. You know, you usually have the founders, often they're bringing in friends and family and things of that sort, and not a whole lot of thought is given to the actual employment aspect. Particularly the wage and hour aspect, because wage and hour law applies to really every business, regardless of size. And bottom line is, for the most part, outside the founders, folks can't work for free. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest mistake I see in startup businesses, entrepreneurs, is they really don't know what they don't know. And they wind up in situations where they frankly get into wage and hour trouble. And wage and hour trouble includes personal liability. And so you could have a situation where a founder doesn't know what they don't know, make mistakes, and next thing you know, they're getting sued or a visit from the Department of Labor, and it's not just the company on the hook, it's the founder. That's by far the biggest issue, wage and hour, because most of the entrepreneurs are, the startups are not big enough to come within, say, the Family Medical Leave Act and some of the major laws. They hope to get there, mm-hmm. but they don't start out there.
But in terms of wage and hour, that's a big one that does impact all businesses.
Oh yeah, here in North mm-hmm. Carolina, you're either impacted by the North Carolina Wage and Hour Act or the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, depending on the size of your business. And assuming you're under $600,000 in gross volume sales, you're gonna be covered by the North Carolina Wage and Hour Act, which really, frankly, mirrors the Fair Labor Standards mm-hmm. Act. And so, you know, any business needs to have their wage and hour policies in writing and in order.
And would need legal advice to make sure that they're positioning themselves in the early stages before they even start the process.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've been working with some small businesses of late, and you know, startups, and I'm asking, well, do you have this policy in place, that policy in place related to wage and hour? And they didn't even know what I was talking about. But yet they already had a practice of paying people.
Right.
And so that's just mistake number one, is not actually having written policies in place.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine also one of the other areas for people who are starting up a corporation versus an LLC, that you know, with where shares are involved and people are using shares to negotiate salaries and things like that, that you would really need to be super, super careful with contracts and agreements.
True, and the problem you run into there is, you know, if you're the founder and you hold most, if not all, the shares, you're okay. I mean, you're the owner. You can't violate wage and hour laws against yourself, if that makes sense. But one mistake I see quite often with startup businesses is they're trying to trade shares for work. And that just does not work under the law. You know, you're in effect giving somebody a promise to pay later if we do well, if we succeed, if there's actual value to these shares. And you can't do that because you do have to comply with minimum wage and or overtime laws. In the event that the individual is exempt, you know, you don't have that, but you still have to pay a guaranteed salary.
Mm-hmm.
And a share or the promise of something in the future is not going to cut it now. And that's, I get that all the time. We want to give this salesperson 5% of the shares of the company, but we can't afford to pay them.
Right.
Then you don't have a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's going to be a huge issue under the wage and hour laws.
So if you are looking to hire someone who's salaried and you want to offer them a lower than market value salary in exchange, give them shares, then that you cannot
do. Well, you can do that.
Okay.
You can do
okay.
that. The big issue I see are situations where the startup business doesn't yet have a lot of cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Owners are not taking anything out, they're reinvesting, but they need employees to grow the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're telling the employee, hey, you work for us, we can't pay you, but we're going to give you a piece of the business.
Okay.
That's what you can't do. You could say, you know, come in for below market and we'll give you a piece of the business. That's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
To do, assuming that you're otherwise paying at least the minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, if they're exempt from overtime, assuming that you're paying them at least the $455 a week guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that kind of thing. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Now they're going to want a contract.
Right. Exactly.
I'll tell you that much.
So. Can you talk about the various size companies that you represent? And obviously, and maybe this is not the right assumption, but I'm thinking obviously the larger must be tougher with in terms of their size in your consulting with them. And basically an overall, I guess, from an HR perspective, you know, consulting with those organizations related to HR law. Some of those that you represent in terms of size. You mentioned that there are startups that you work mm-hmm. with, but you also work with larger companies as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my client base runs from 3 employees to over 13,000 employees, and every size company in between. There's, you know, from mom and pops to, you know, the big mega companies. They're there, and our law firm, frankly, represents from mom and pops to Fortune 50 companies.
Mm-hmm. And what are some hiring and staffing recommendations related to employment law that you would give to an entrepreneur looking to start up a small corporate company, let's say with 25 employees?
Right. Well, I would say set aside a little money to get some proper legal advice. And find a subject matter expert. You know, here in North Carolina, we can't hold ourselves out as experts. We don't have a specialization test in employment law. Mm-hmm. But find somebody who has practiced in that field. One of the things I've seen locally with startups are the attorneys who have incorporated the business have given bad advice on the employment standpoint. I had a small business. The incorporation was fine, but the advice given was, we'll just call them all independent contractors. They were not independent contractors, they were employees, and I was able to negotiate a settlement just a tick below six figures that had to be paid in back wages. So pay for the advice. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem I see, though, is that there's no money or thoughts for that. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's going to cost, but it's a lot cheaper to pay up front than pay
what the consequences are.
Right. And so, you know, spend the money, get good advice, and follow that advice. Don't be tempted to rip off things from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the internet is great for stealing policies and practices and things of that sort. And I can't tell you how many times I've met with young businesses and I've said, you got this off the internet, didn't you? Yes. You got it from a company in California, New Jersey, New York, West Virginia, Ohio, Michigan. Oh, how did you know? Well, I know, because it's a policy that is either unlawful in North Carolina or just doesn't apply, or really shouldn't be applying to this particular company in the phase that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, spend some time to get that advice, mm-hmm. because on the tail end, you know, just a single wage and hour claim, if you've messed up on that, you haven't gotten the advice on the front end, you're looking at back wages times two plus interest plus attorney's fees.
Mm-hmm.
I have a small client in Bryson City. He owes about $3,000 in back wages. And I told him the other day, nah, you really owe $12,000 to $15,000. He's like, how do you get that? I said, you double it, you add interest, which is better than you're getting at a bank.
Right.
It's like 6.5-7%, and then you add those attorney's fees to get that little bit of change that you actually owe. Don't be that person.
Right.
You know,
right.
Seek the advice on the front end.
So that being said, I'm just going to jump ahead. I think I have this question on here. Okay, so. Do you recommend that a company that size, starting up with about 25 employees, you know, the size that we had mentioned, should have an HR staff person?
Not necessarily.
An experienced HR staff person.
You know, 25 is a little low probably, mm-hmm. to have a full-time HR person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the guidance out there is one per 100 employees. Now, I run into plenty of companies that are that size that have an HR person. It's usually a person that's also in accounting and payroll,
right.
and this and that and so on and so forth. And they're wearing many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The key for me is, if you're going to go that route, make sure that they at least recognize the red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd probably be better off outsourcing that function,
mm-hmm.
To a competent HR professional, or at least bringing in, say, a lawyer, an employment lawyer, to help you get a baseline,
mm-hmm.
and help you understand what you need, because folks don't understand that. I mean, I've run into small businesses, startup businesses lately, that didn't bother to have workers' compensation coverage.
Wow.
They didn't think they needed it. And that's not only criminal,
mm-hmm.
but very expensive on the civil side as well. So don't just rely on the cousin, the brother, the wife, the whomever of the founder, you know, for the HR expertise. Make sure if they're going to wear that hat, they know what they're doing.
Okay, that makes sense. So you've shared a few stories. Is there anything that you can think of that might be helpful to this conversation related to a small business startup that might be a challenge or something that's come up that you'd like to share?
Well, I can't preach the wage and hour piece enough.
Mm-hmm.
I run into that so often. I'm working with a small business now that basically equated being exempt from overtime to having a salary. And that's not the case. And so now we're looking at back wage issues. Look at your insurance coverages. Not only do you have workers' compensation insurance, but do you have employment practices liability insurance? I'm not necessarily advocating for it, but find out whether or not that's a coverage that you have, or is it a rider attached to your general liability coverage? You know, do you have that? And make sure that's in place. Develop your policies in writing. You don't have to have some, you know, 50 or 75 page manual with a whole bunch of legalese and wherefores and all that kind of hubbub. You know, develop a policy manual that fits for your business and uses your language and your culture. And then the other thing is, with a lot of entrepreneurial businesses, startups, they take this "we are family" approach, which is fine until you have that disgruntled cousin or the funky uncle or whatever that sues you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to be mindful about that and have some policies and procedures in effect. And you know, give some thought to them. You know, one thing I've been dealing with a startup lately that wanted to do unlimited PTO. That's great. You know, fantastic. I'd like to take some PTO. But, you know, thankfully they came to me for some legal advice about how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Because tons of startups, particularly attracting kids these days, unlimited PTO is a perk.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to actually have some limits on unlimited PTO for your policy to work.
Mm-hmm. Great. Excellent. Well, you teach an employment law workshop for Western Carolina University each fall around Halloween, and
yep.
We have one coming up. you have talked about, you know, shared some of your stories, but can you tell me briefly a story that relates to a startup that might be a horror story?
Oh my gosh. There are just tons of them. I got a call yesterday from a small business. I ultimately did not end up representing them, but the story there was, hey, I've been paying all my employees in cash, and now I've got a meeting with the Department of Labor. Can you help me?
Oh.
And my answer was, no, I can't. You are just done. I mean, there's
oh,
nothing
no.
you can do about it. But, I mean, the real horror story, and I can't really emphasize this enough, is on the wage and hour front. Because, you know, there is personal liability for wages. And if you, as a startup, mess that up, the lawsuit is going to be, if the attorney knows what they're doing, the lawsuit's going to be against your company and you individually. And unpaid wages are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. And so I can't stress enough the wage and hour aspects. And that is absolutely the biggest mistake companies make, is that. And then, you know, kind of a secondary mistake is not having written policies.
Mm-hmm.
And then using language that's contractual in nature when you really don't mean to have a contract.
Right.
The promissory language is out there. We're going to do this. We will. We shall. No, you're hoping, but don't promise.
Which is another good reason to make sure that you have an attorney reviewing your contracts and policies and everything that you have in place prior to formalizing them.
Oh, yeah. And another thing to think about very briefly is covenants not to compete and non-solicitation agreements and agreements dealing with your intellectual property. You need to have those on the front end. I mean, you could wind up with the greatest product or service ever, but if you don't protect your intellectual property, what are you going to do? It's gone. And a lot of folks, you know, I do a lot of that work in the central part of the state. Here in the western part of the state, we've got a lot of, you know, startups, even a lot of tech startups, and folks don't think about that. They're all, we're going to be friends and collaborate, and this business is going to grow, and we're going to be successful. Well, I hope that's the case, but in many, many instances, it doesn't, or that person leaves you, and come to find out has raided your address book, your tech, and your product, and is going to the competitor, and you have no protections.
And it's all gone.
It's all gone. So, you know, think about these things on the front end. That's what I'm paid to do, is think about them for you.
Right.
Think about them on the front end so that you're not crying over the back end.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I really appreciate
Anytime.
You taking this time, and thank you. And this was really, really helpful.
You're most welcome. Anytime.